Let's pray. Lord God, you made each and every one of us special and unique. Help us to learn a series that we can truly have confidence if we place our trust in you, not in the things of this world. And we come to you as imperfect people, and at the same time, through you, Lord Jesus, we are made perfect. And you have a plan for each one of us, and help us in this series to understand that more deeply and to grow in our appreciation of the people around us and the great God you are and the special plan you have for each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. My name is Pastor John Bjorgaard, and I go by Pastor John or John because Bjorgaard is kind of a hard name to say. And it's great to be part of your team here, and this is actually my first Sunday with you on a part-time basis. And I've known Pastor Mike for many years. In fact, I ordained and installed him years ago when he first became a pastor, and that was in Texas. And it's just exciting to get to know the staff, get to know you gradually. It'll be over time, I'll get to know you more and more. And I'll be working in the area of evangelism and discipleship. And I've served prior at Shepherd of the Desert in Scottsdale for 11 years. And before that, I was in Shelby Township, Michigan, a church called Shepherd's Gate as a senior pastor there. Prior to that, I was a senior pastor at Christ Church in Phoenix. Before that, I served as a senior pastor in the Salt Lake City, Utah area. And I started out, my first church was in Rochester, New York. And the person that's most important to me after my Lord is Kim over here, and so that's Kim, and we're so thrilled to be a part of your family here at St. Mark. And today we kick off a series focusing on confidence, the secrets to having a life of confidence. And confidence is the ability to put your trust in something or someone. And we live in a world where people struggle with confidence because so many things around us are not very reliable sources of confidence. Let me give you an example. Let's say that you are on an airplane, and the captain of the plane gets on the intercom, and he says, "Hey, it's my first time ever flying a commercial aircraft. I'm so glad you're on the plane with me." Does that give you a good sense of confidence? Probably not. Let's say he gets on the intercom, he says, "My name's Captain Smith, and I've been a pilot for 30 years, and I have over 10,000 hours of flying experience, and I've never had anything go wrong ever." Does that give you more confidence? Definitely. So let's say you meet with a surgeon, you're gonna have surgery, and a surgeon sits down with you and says, "You know, I just graduated from medical school, and you're the first person ever to surgery on, so I'm so glad you're willing to be my guinea pig." Does that give you confidence? Most likely not. But if he sits down with you and says, "You know, I've done over 1,000 of these surgeries and every one went perfectly well," does that give you more confidence? Definitely. And so today we're going to be talking about where we can find confidence and where we really cannot find reliable confidence. And the world, I believe, tries to trick us. And so I want to start out by sharing three things that the world tries to convince us of where we can find confidence. The first thing is this, an appearance. We live in a world that focuses so much on the external, focuses so much on how people look. In fact, so often it judges people by how they look. Now, I stand up before you right now is basically this hump of flesh. I'm like 80% water, and all this stuff on the outside. This is just the housing of who I really am, okay? We should take care of what God has given to us. But a lot of people, they worship this exterior, but who I am and who you are is really on the inside. You have a soul, an eternal soul. That's what matters to God. But our world focuses so much on external appearance. You know, in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, God says, "I'm going to limit mankind's age to 120 years. Before that and shortly thereafter, they had long lives, but people never live much past 120, and I'm almost halfway to that point. And I can honestly say my body does not work as well as it used to work." No matter how hard you try to focus on your appearance, eventually age and gravity takes over. But thank God, for Him, what really matters is not the appearance. And so it should be the same for us. The appearance on the outside, what matters is what's on the inside of human beings. It says in Proverbs 31:30, "Charm can be deceptive and beauty doesn't last." So appearance, not a very reliable source for confidence. The next one is acquisitions. Things we buy or the money we have. We live in a very materialistic world. Let me ask you a question. Are you still driving the same car you drove 30 years ago? Why not? Because it broke down, right? The things we buy, they tend to break down. Are you still wearing the same clothes you wore 20 or 30 years ago? No, because they break apart. They fall apart. The things this world, they come and they go. Consumer mentality and the media, marketing tries to convince us that if you want to have confidence, it's through having a lot of money, it's by having stuff. When I was in the seminary in St. Louis, I used to be a butler for wealthy families. I guess they trusted us. They probably felt we weren't going to steal their stuff because we were still going to be pastors. And I got to know a lot of very wealthy people, and I learned something very quickly. That the more you have, the more you have to worry about. And for a lot of people with a lot of wealth, they're living in fear of losing what they have. Nothing wrong with having wealth, but if it becomes your God, if you put your confidence in that stuff, eventually you're probably going to be disappointed. Because of even money, it comes and it goes. Things, they come and they go. It says in Proverbs 11:7, confidence placed in riches comes to nothing. We will not find lasting confidence in appearance and acquisition. And the third thing is in achievement. In Jeremiah 9, the Lord says, wise men should not boast in their wisdom, nor strong men of their strength, nor rich men of their wealth. If anyone wants to boast, he should boast that he knows me and understands me. Most likely in your life, you've accomplished some really incredible things. But what happens over time? Those achievements are forgotten, okay? You know, think about sports. For example, our society is really into sports. Who won the Super Bowl in, let's say, 1968? Who won the World Series in 1972? Actually, somebody in the last service didn't know these things, which amazed me. But the thing is, even if you win a championship, it's short-lived. And the expectation is that you got to keep winning championships, and if the coach doesn't keep doing that, what usually happens? They get fired. I'm a Minnesota Viking fan, okay? And in 4 Super Bowls, lost every single one. So I've learned a lot about humility when it comes to professional football anyway. But the bottom line is, worldly achievements are very temporary. When I was in college, I was on a soccer team that won a national championship at Concordia St. Paul. It was the first national championship in the more than 100-year history of that school in any sport. After I graduated, they changed the college's name from Concordia College to Concordia University, and they had a rich benefactor who gave them millions of dollars for a new athletic facility. And I went to visit it a number of years ago, and I'm walking all over the whole complex. I didn't see one picture of our 1980 championship soccer team. It's forgotten. You can Google Concordia College men's soccer team 1980, nothing comes up. It's like it never happened. There's a song out by Kansas years ago. It's called Dust in the Wind. And so it is with achievements. They're like dust in the wind. Eventually, they're forgotten. At some point, we're going to be leaving this planet. 1,000 years from now, they're going to remember what we did? Most likely not. You will not find confidence in appearance, in acquisitions, in worldly achievements. Well, then where can you find confidence? The first thing I want to talk about is our identity. Okay? Our identity, in that we are uniquely made by God. Our uniqueness. It says in Psalm 9:5, you, God, made man inferior only to yourself. You crowned him with glory and honor. And in Psalm 139:13, you, God, created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. God made each one of us special. We're not some freak chance of evolution to somehow land on this planet, which a lot of people in the world believe, unfortunately. We're specially created by God, and he loves us. One of the things I do, besides serving as a pastor, is I'm also a pastoral coach and counselor. And two of the guys that I coach are identical twins. And even though they're very similar in a lot of ways, they're still unique. No two people are the same. Every one of us special. God made each one of us and he threw away the mold. And unfortunately for a lot of people in this world, they don't realize how special and unique they are. Every one of us is a piece of a puzzle. When all the pieces come together, the most beautiful picture comes into being. And you are a very important part of that. Each one of us a part of the body of Christ, uniquely made. To celebrate that, not only in ourselves, but in those around us. For our congregation to grow in our effectiveness, the key is for us to grow in the commands that Jesus gave to love God and to love who? Others, to love our neighbor. Who's our neighbor? Everybody. To love every single person and help everybody realize their special uniqueness and how wonderful they are. The next thing, as far as reliable source of confidence, is our value. That Jesus died for us. That Jesus gave his life for us. It says in Romans 5:8, God has shown us how much he loves us. It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die for us. And the next verse gets even more specific. It says in 1 Peter 1:18, God paid a ransom to save you. He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ. From us, it goes to who? You, each of us individually. If you're the only person on this planet, Jesus would have given his life for you. I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Can anybody relate to that? We've all sinned. We cannot earn our way to heaven. But God, in his love for each of us, each unique person that we are, Jesus came and he died for our sins and he rose again from the dead, that through him our sins are forgiven. Of all the things I ever shared with you, the most important thing I want you to know is this. God loves you. God sent Jesus to live the perfect life, to die on the cross and rise again, that through him we are going to live forever, and through Jesus there is no sin in this room right now. All the sin is washed away and our future is incredible. And we can put our confidence in that, and knowing our future is secure. And not only does Jesus want us to have a great life forever, he also wants us to have a great life when? Even right now. That leads into the third part, the third thing we can put our confidence in. And that's in our purpose. That God has a special plan for each one of us. He has a plan for each one of us. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That comes from Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. 8 and 9 say, for it's by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So our salvation is 100% a gift from who? From God. 100% from God. But now that we've been set free, now that our sins are gone, now we can have confidence, our future is secure, that we're going to live forever, we now are called the workmanship of God. To use the freedom we have in Christ, to take that freedom and now live for God and realize he's got a special plan for each and every one of us. As a pastoral coach, I work a lot with pastors. And one of the sessions I do with them is to help them to find and discover their own personal purpose, vision, and mission. So if I was to come to you and ask you, what is your purpose? What is your vision? What is your mission for being on this planet? Would you be able to answer me? And I want to encourage you that if you've never gone through a process of determining that, to maybe start thinking about that. But I think the one we should look to the most to get ideas on how that should look is Jesus. Jesus had a clear purpose. He had a clear vision. He had a clear mission. What was his purpose? I think we see it in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That Jesus came from heaven to earth, that one day we can go from earth to where? Heaven. But thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only does he want us to one day go to heaven, but he wants his will to also be done where? Here too. You see, I believe he wants us to have a great life now and a great life forever. And how's that accomplished? What is his vision? What is Jesus' vision? In Matthew 28, he gives us that vision. Jesus says, go make what? Disciples of all nations. Go make disciples of all nations. Jesus had a vision of a world filled with disciples. People that were dedicated followers. He didn't say just go make believers. He didn't say just go make church members. Go make what? Disciples. That's the path. That's the goal he gives to us to grow in this faith. And how is that done? So the vision of a world filled with disciples, but the mission talks about how the vision become reality. And he goes further in Matthew 28 and says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so the first part, getting baptized, coming to faith, growing in a life of worship, but then learning from his word to be taught everything the Bible teaches. You know, I've been a pastor for over 32 years. I'm still learning more all the time about the Bible from God's word. Ongoing students. And as we grow in the word, as we grow in this faith, so we grow in the confidence of the Lord, and eventually the third part is go make disciples. To go. That a disciple is someone who goes. They want the world to know this truth. As I mentioned, I've been called to oversee discipleship and evangelism. And the key is what we all do together. The key is for every one of us to grow in our walk with Jesus. And no matter where you are in the journey, it's fine. As long as our desire is to keep growing from just the first part of the journey, just the life of worship and believing, to growing in our faith, to eventually wanting to live our faith out more and more. A pathway towards discipleship. To keep growing. So the bottom line is this. If you want confidence in this life, it's not found in worldly things. It's found in God. It's found in Jesus Christ. That we're unique. That Jesus died and rose for us. That we have a unique plan and calling in our lives. And in closing, I'd like to share something with you regarding this special day. Today is All Saints Sunday. And my guess is every one of us have had people that have left this planet before us that were very important to us. Very instrumental in helping us to come to faith in Jesus Christ, right? Because there are people that help you to be here right now. They led you to faith. And I was thinking this last week about my grandparents. They were all believers in Jesus. They all showed forth amazing examples. And I was thinking about other people that God put in my life that are no longer with us. But I spent a lot of time thinking about my mother who passed away almost 20 years ago. And when I was growing up, she was a very gentle leader in helping me to learn about my uniqueness in Christ, but also the fact that Jesus died and rose for me. And she also helped me to grow in my understanding of the plan that God had for me in my life. And I'd walk in my room sometimes and she would put something on my bed, usually like a Christian book. One book was Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. You know, she didn't like the music I listened to, so she put Christian music, like back in the album days, put Christian albums on my bed. And I listened to them. And she has gently guided me. And when I felt God calling me a pastor, and I remember the first time I ever preached, I looked out, and there's Mom, and she's looking down. I think she's more nervous than I was. Always encouraging me, cheering me on. Now she's in heaven. As we think about those people that went before us, it's a reminder to us how God is such a loving, amazing God. We celebrate the uniqueness of those people, the fact that Jesus saved them, the fact the plan they carried out, the influence they had on their own personal lives, but they're also a reminder to us of this, that this life is only temporary. If our hope, our confidence in things in this world, we're going to be disappointed. But if our confidence is in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. We find true, lasting, eternal confidence. confidence in a God who will never let us down. A God who made us unique. A God who sent a Savior who lived and died for us so we can live forever. A God who gives us our own unique purpose and plan for this life until that day when we see Him face to face. And because of this amazing God, we know the best is always yet to come. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank and praise You for bringing confidence to us. We were lost in sin, and You bring to us forgiveness. You create us unique. You create us special. And every one of us has a plan. And what we do, what we say, what we give in Your name ultimately has eternal significance. Lord Jesus, help us to evaluate our lives. If we're putting too much confidence in appearance and acquisition, achievement, help us not to let those things become like gods to us. Help us to realize those things are temporary things. But what truly matters is our relationship with You, because it's in You we find true and lasting confidence. We pray this in Your name. Amen.